This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
The BFM Breakfast Grill, connecting you to the top people and ideas. Presented by U-Mobile.
Today on the Breakfast Grill, we have Dato' Chung Chee Leong, who is President and CEO of Chagamas Berhad, which was set up in 1986 to help people buy homes at a time when financial institutions were facing funding challenges and escalating interest rates. It does this by raising funds from investors like pension funds, insurance companies and financial institutions, and providing such funds to banks so that they're more willing to lend to home buyers. Dato, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you, Julian.
So how it works is that Chagamas issues bonds and sells them to investors, and then the funds that are raised will be passed on to the banks. Are there enough safeguards to avoid the problem of large-scale toxic loans?
Firstly, when Chagamas purchase loans from financial institutions, there are strict eligibility criteria which we impose on those loans. So basically, we do not buy toxic loans, impaired loans, or for the matter, subprime loans. So essentially, this is just a liquidity facility provided to banks so that they can on-lend those money to the end house buyers. So essentially, what we take as a purchase consideration are all the loans that meet our eligibility criteria.
So it's a case that you're providing mostly funding to the banks, and the banks themselves will take care of credit issues. Do you buy housing loans directly? I understand that there is this type of lending called purchase without recourse. Where do you give direct loans to the public?
No, Chagamas does not give direct loans, but we do purchase those loans directly for financial institutions on a without recourse basis, meaning it is a true sale. The credit risk will then be borne entirely by Chagamas. So that is slightly different from the liquidity facility that we talked about earlier.
I think housing is a very sticky issue as far as national policy is concerned, and it seems like there is some conflicting goals, conflicting aspirations in terms of goals, because what we want to do is to expand home ownership among the B40 and the M40 groups, but then we also want to preserve the stability of the banking system. Now, are these two goals easy to bridge?
Well, I don't see actually any significant conflicting criteria there, actually. Now, in order to promote home ownership among the B40 and the M40, we need to take a more holistic approach in handling the issue. It is not just about accessibility to financing, because the whole host of issues related to that, the entire ecosystem and value chain, that cause perhaps the affordability of the houses in the first instance. Now, because of the fact that the house prices were quite high, and as a result of that, an individual who earns maybe less than 5,000 ringgit, for example, find it a bit difficult to obtain a housing loan from a bank to buy a house of, say, 500,000 and above. Now, given this spectrum, we have actually seen the government and the banking institutions and the central bank, Bank Negara Malaysia, put in place various measures to help some of these M40 and B40 group to purchase their first home. For instance, for Chagamas itself, we are participating in the government's scheme Rumah Pertamaku, or the My First Home scheme, and the youth housing scheme, basically targeting young individuals at the time, below 40s, to own their first house in terms of that, so they can borrow up to 100% to buy those houses without coming up with the deposit in the first instance. So this actually has helped at least a total of about 17,000 households to own their first home. Now, given this spectrum, back to your earlier question, well, how would banks be able to address some of these issues in terms of credit risk?
Yeah.
So in terms of the credit risk perspective, I guess they will need to do the credit assessment and to undertake the normal credit standards. But obviously, there are certain relaxation in terms of the certain criteria allowing these individuals to own their first home.
Now, that's interesting. I mean, this word relaxation that you use, because in fact, your liquidity that provided to the banks does reflect the kind of lower interest rates. Do you think these interest rates are being made artificial by the role of Chagamas? Otherwise, all these loans will be lent out at much higher interest rates.
No, I guess for the banking system, they have many alternative sources of funding. So getting liquidity from Chagamas is one of those. So I wouldn't say this artificially being manipulated or being changed to some extent by this liquidity that we provide. But basically, I think what is important is that banks are in the business of lending. I'm sure if it's a good credit and it's credit that has got adequate collateral, that's got adequate credit worthiness in terms of cash flows and all that, the banks would actually be willing to lend. If you look at the balance sheet of banks today, in the banking system itself, 33% of the total loans are for housing purposes. And out of that, some of the big banks have even gone on the balance sheet about 40%. So essentially, it shows that banks are actually lending for housing purposes.
So there's no over-reliance on Chagamas then by the banks?
No, there's actually no over-reliance. We are merely providing liquidity as one of the source. But as far as the guarantee scheme is concerned, yes, we are the only provider at this moment, one of the providers of mortgage guarantee. We actually help these individuals to some extent to actually be able to obtain the housing loan for the first home.
Dato Chung Chi Leong, President and CEO of Chagamas, is on The Breakfast Grill today, and Chagamas is in the business of raising home ownership in Malaysia, or at least supporting home ownership in Malaysia. And Dato, I just want to go behind some of these ideas behind housing and its social impact. But before that, also, you have plans to go into infrastructure funding and SME funding as well. Can you tell us a little bit more about this? And are these loans slightly more concentrated and therefore more risky?
Well, as far as Chagamas is concerned, I think we have been a successful model in the secondary mortgage market. We are recognized by the World Bank as the best liquidity provider. In fact, Chagamas have issued 300 over billion ringgit worth of bonds and sukuk over the years to fund the housing loan sector. Now, essentially, what we are looking at now is really to replicate our model into other sectors. For example, to help the infrastructure and also the SME sector. Until today, we have actually not really started purchasing loans in those sectors yet. We are looking into ways in how we can assist in coming up with capital market solution to help the SME sector, for example.
And as far as infrastructure is concerned, there is very little social content between them, because that's about big businesses, isn't it, compared to housing?
I think the infrastructure we are talking about are perhaps more the university campuses and the education sector, the health sector, where they were previously the PFIs, the privately funded infrastructure projects, which we are looking at in terms of the cash flows. So essentially, that is something that we were looking at previously, but now I think our concentration is more really at affordable housing. How Chagamas can play a role to further stimulate affordable housing in Malaysia.
We're speaking to Dato Chung Chi Leong, President and CEO of Chagamas, on this morning's Breakfast Grill. Coming up next, we'll look into some of the new measures that have been announced by the government. BFM 89.9.
You are listening to the BFM Breakfast Grill, brought to you by U Mobile.
This morning on The Breakfast Grill, we have Dato Chung Chi Leong, President and CEO of Chagamas, which is helping the nation's home ownership initiative. Dato, in the recent budget, new capital gains taxes were imposed on property sold after 5 years of ownership, and this compared to either very low taxes or zero taxes from previously. Are you supportive of this kind of policy, and what does it do to the idea of greater home ownership?
Well, I believe the real property gain tax would actually have not a significant implication as far as home ownership is concerned. But I think if you are buying for your own living, basically you will probably not worry too much about this real property gain tax. But if you are a speculator who are buying a number of houses, yes, there is that implication. So I think to some extent, this real property gain tax would actually curb over-speculation in the property sector, and perhaps that could drive down prices overall eventually.
And the other, some of the other things that were announced also are crowdfunding and peer-to-peer funding are emerging new ideas, which is supported by institutions such as the Securities Commission. And in fact, this effectively makes little chagamasas out of all of us, right? Because we can, lend to people who need the money. Now, chagamas, you talked about your plans to go into SME funding. Will you work with the peer-to-peer platforms that are approved by the SC to this end?
Well, we are looking at various options possible. One way is, yes, the P2P. P2P is really another form of funding availability. We could do it through issuance of senior unsecured debt. For example, even in the property sector, we can issue, for example, mortgage REITs. We can do residential property REITs. There are many options available.
Those are great ideas. Are you going to go into that?
Well, yes, we are in the midst of looking at some of these innovative ideas as well, as far as funding is concerned. That is separate from the actual ownership of houses. Okay, that is the funding mechanism. Like I said, other than issuing senior unsecured debt or securitizing the housing loans as we have done previously, we are looking at various other options available, basically to fund our purchase of loans, for example, from financial institutions.
Now, REITs or real estate investment trusts are very interesting and I believe a very beautiful structure that has been created because it allows people to own into a portfolio of property assets without actually coughing up big sums of money. How would you structure a residential REIT? Because most of the REITs that are in the market today are on hotels, shopping malls, office space, and so on. How would you structure a residential REIT?
Well, that's why I said basically it's work in progress. We are looking at how best that could be structured. We also need to look at the regulatory requirements and regulatory guidelines that are available currently to see how a residential property REITs or even a mortgage REITs, for example, can be structured. Now, essentially, from the house buyer side, it is the same, right? They go to a bank or they can buy a house and use whatever other funding mechanism available in the market. Here, what I'm talking about is the actual funding of our operations, which can come in many other forms. So you spoke about just now the crowdfunding, and basically crowdfunding is a funding mechanism that can be used for the SME sector, can be used for property, and it can be used even for infrastructure, I believe. So essentially, these are really good options, innovative ideas. We can also leverage on, for example, the fintech digital platform to also raise funding. So this things are being looked at, and we will see what is the best in terms of coming up with the lowest cost of funding.
The other idea that was announced in the budget is the so-called crowdfunding for buying property, although the funders are strictly not the crowd, but financial and property entities. And this is just slightly different from the idea of residential property REITs. What's your view on this whole P2P crowdfunding for property idea? I'm talking about the one that was announced in the budget. Currently in its incarnation is under the Fund My Home initiative that was launched by a few local businessmen. So does this achieve the same kind of level of social housing support that you're looking for?
Well, I believe what you are looking at really is the scheme itself, okay?
Yeah.
I think the funding, as far as I'm concerned, the P2P or you fund it to other means, there's basically no issue.
That's right, the scheme itself.
The scheme itself, basically, I think what is important, you see today, there's not just the scheme that you're talking about, Fund My Home. You've got House Key, which is a rent-to-own scheme. You heard yesterday probably something called Safe to Own and Help to Own. So there are many new schemes coming out. So I think from a perspective of a house buyer, they need to evaluate each of those schemes and see which one fits them best. Really, I think they need to understand that all these could be different. They are different from a normal conventional housing loans. Some of them, the price of the house may not have been locked in, for example. Some of it, maybe there's an upside gain, there's a downside risk as well. So there are different features of each of these products. So to me, I think what is important is that these house buyers would need to fully understand each of those schemes before they go into it.
Are you afraid that such schemes will lead to something that is more speculative?
Well, not exactly, because on the asset side of it, basically you still have those buyers of houses for the first time, right? The other side, which is the investors, basically they're investing in funds. They're investing in a portfolio of property. So they're actually not buying any property, right? So technically, it does not lead to speculation. This is, as I said, an alternative funding mechanism. Rather than just relying on bank, for example, funding, you have other alternatives.
Now, as a housing policy, should the government consider rental rather than ownership, since this is much cheaper to roll out?
Yes, rental housing, I think, is an essential component they need to look at. I think it is something that has been worked on, but essentially some of the building blocks towards a thriving rental market is, for example, to have a Residential Tenancy Act and perhaps a tribunal that mediate between the landlord and the tenants.
If Chagamas went into such a rental market or such a rental concept, then the funds that Chagamas raises will go so much further, you know, because this kind of funds can be used to fund renting instead of buying, which is a big ticket item.
Well, we are also looking at this rent-to-own scheme that is perhaps the market could be looking at as well.
Tell us how that works, because in my mind, there's no free lunch, right? At the end of the day, you're still having to cough up money to buy a home, and therefore all the affordability issues would still be inherent.
Well, I guess it's really about you having an option where you want to, at the end of the day, exercise. Ultimately, whether you want to purchase a house that you are renting at this moment or not. So there is that option. Whereas for a poor purchase, you have already purchased the house. That is your obligation. In a rent-to-own scheme, basically what it means is, yes, you pay slightly more than what a normal renter would be because of the optionality of purchasing it at the end of a period. And essentially because of that, you have that option. You can walk out of the house and say after 3 years or 5 years and say, I don't want to buy this house. So that is basically the difference between the two.
And you don't foresee that Chagamas actually going into long-term rental financing for the people?
Well, I think for a party to engage in long-term renting business, you will need to have long-term funding. As you know just now, Chagamas raised funding from the market. So essentially, there's again the return that we are talking about. Investors look at returns 4 to 5%. Renter yield today is probably much lower than that. So that is the challenge for us if we are going to engage in that because of the mismatch between the actual renter yield as well as the expectation of the investors.
Now, should Chagamas or the government take this kind of housing initiative to the next level? Because in a way, Chagamas is providing a lot of liquidity. So, you know, turning our attention to our neighbor down south, they come up with the HDB housing, right? And HDB is a scheme that provides affordable housing. Do you think that Chagamas is in a position to do that, to fund actual housing, affordable, low-cost housing, and be like a HDB?
Well, currently, Chagamas' mandate is really to promote home ownership in terms of purchasing mortgages for financial institutions. So I think that would be a need to change our mandate in terms of the business model and all that. But I think one of the other things that, Singapore has got a great model in terms of the affordable housing.
And I'd like to know your view on this also, because you are co-hosting a conference with the World Bank, which is entitled Constructing and Financing Affordable Housing Across Asia. That's happening in the beginning of April, and people can register for that. But, you know, this whole idea of just delivering affordable housing to people, what are the pros and cons of the HDB model?
Well, I think the HDB model provides for some form of consistency in terms of prices, in terms of model itself, in terms of the layout. So they are actually quite standardized in a sense. Because of that, probably the construction cost is much lower. But obviously, the con is that your house looks the same as everybody else.
Which is fine if you only want a roof over your head, right? And a lot of people in Malaysia right now, it's a culture of ownership at all costs. And if that's the case, it's either same-ish houses or a rental, right?
Yes, of course, that is true. But in any case, I think it is really what the millennial in the future wants. Because I think some of the millennial that I've talked to don't really want to own a house, for example. So essentially, we need to do a market survey among millennials and see for the future. How do we plan for them in terms of the houses? What type of houses they're looking at? I think they're probably looking at more with accessibility, connectivity, as opposed to size.
And also the idea of a co-ownership. We see that happening in the office space already. Perhaps in the residential space it may happen.
Yeah, I think this co-ownership is something that we are also looking at. If you look at the models currently available in the United Kingdoms and in Australia, there is this co-ownership, which is the shared ownership equity program. For example, I can only borrow up to 70% to buy a house. So either the government, a statutory body, or some other corporates can own that 30% to co-own this house with this individual until a certain period of time where this person, when they sell the house, this 30% or 20% owner by the time should be able to also gain on the upside. And also, they will need to bear the cost, the loss, if there's a downside. So essentially, that is the co-ownership that model that I think some of the countries have. And I think this is really something perhaps which would help address the issue about unable to borrow up to 100% or 90% for a loan.
Dato, it sounds all very nice on paper. And, you know, this is coming on the back of escalating property prices to the extent of almost four times people's median income in Kuala Lumpur, annual income in Kuala Lumpur, right? How fast can all these exciting new initiatives be implemented?
Well, I think some of them could be quick wins, but others may need a bit more time. I think you see already a number of new initiatives, new ideas already being put into the market. For example, House Key by Maybank, Fund My Home, for example, and many other of these schemes are coming up. So everyone is really working around the clock to come up with solutions in coming up with as fast as possible in looking and addressing this affordable housing issue. But the main crux of the issue is really the house prices. How do we actually control the escalating house prices? How do we control, for example, the escalating land costs? How do we control labor costs and other developmental costs? I think that needs to be addressed as well, because the entire ecosystem needs to address this issue about affordable housing.
Usage of the word control may be very worrying to some of the believers in a market-driven model.
No, I think I'm not talking about controlling prices, but what we're looking at, because of this escalating land costs, for example, developmental costs and incidental costs, and all these are translated ultimately to the price of the houses. Now, how do we, to some extent, reduce or to address some of these issues so that the prices could somewhat be more affordable?
Thank you very much for your time and all the best to your quest in helping to address the nation's housing needs. And that was Dato' Chung Chee Leong, President and CEO of Tragamas. I'm Julian Ng for The Breakfast Grill, BFM 89.9.
The Breakfast Grill is brought to you by U-Mobile for unlimited experiences. Baru la best.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.